The first eight guys maybe should be blue plate specials, but those back five guys, they should be more like tin hats, more guys that are grunt players, garbage players that dive for the ball.
You are listening to the Scrambled Eggs Podcast on CrackedSidewalks.com.
The hot streak is over, but the optimism remains. At least I think so. Hello, everyone, and welcome into Scrambled Eggs, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast here on CrackSidewalks.com. Joe McCann, Phil Bush here with you to, I don't want to say picking up the pieces, because I don't know about you, Phil. I'm not, like, devastated that Marquette lost on Sunday. But, you know, it was a little bummer that the winning streak's over. But I'm not that down on the team. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Let's put it this way. You said the optimism hopefully isn't lost. I think optimistic Phil has put his pants back on.
That's important.
But is still, you know, running around, you know, mostly nude. So, you know.
Oh, wow.
Still pretty optimistic. But, I mean, we were never going to not lose again, right? Like this was not a team that was going to go all the way to the national championship and win the whole thing without losing somewhere between now, you know, January 4th and whatever April date, right?
I did not think they were going to win the national title. No, I still do not believe that.
Correct. I mean, I'm optimistic. I'm not insane. Let's put this all in perspective. They went 1-1 this week, which was really all they needed to do. And I mean, they could go on a 3-game losing skid here, right? They could lose to Providence, lose to Nova, lose to Connecticut, and still be comfortably in the tournament when the season ends.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think some of the latest bracket projections heading into Sunday had Marquette around the 5 line, which is way up there. The bottom line, Marquette built up a lot of goodwill with that winning streak, and they could afford to lose a few games. I think they can afford to lose a few games here down the stretch, including the next couple. But and so, you may not end up being a 5, which seemed crazy high. Maybe you get knocked back down to where it seems more realistic, maybe a 7, 8, 9, 10, something like that. We'll see how far they end up dropping or how hard they crash back down to earth here over the next couple of games. But, I mean, yeah, losing at Providence, no shame in it. Providence has been hot. Maybe a little lucky, but got to give them credit. They're winning. They're doing well. And, you know, losing in a road environment, you know, that's going to happen sometimes in Big East play. So, yeah, I was bummed Marquette lost, but I wasn't. I'm definitely not jumping ship on this team, that's for sure.
Well, and I think it's easy to lose sight of, given all the talk around Providence and being lucky, and the analytics say Providence isn't good, even though they've only lost, I shouldn't say isn't good, but isn't that great, given that they've only lost 2 games, et cetera, et cetera. But it's, you know, with all that, it's easy to lose perspective that Marquette went on the road. This was the second of 2 road games, and played at a Providence team that was almost a top 15 team, right? I believe they were 17 in the AP poll, and they lost by 2. And quite frankly, you know, they were probably either a foul call or a Justin Lewis routine putback shot away from going to overtime. So, I mean, there should be zero shame in the loss. They were going to lose at some point. They had every right. They had every ability to win that game and just didn't. And you know what? It's fine. I mean, the Seton Hall game, you know, somebody I think said it on Twitter, you know, said, boy, we have really come a long way when we're kind of a little disappointed in a ho-hum 10-point win on the road against a top 25 team, you know, and like, that's just where the expectations are. Now it's almost like we expect to win, and we haven't been in that place in a long time, so we should really kind of enjoy it.
Yeah, I said at the end of last week's podcast that if Marquette had won 2 games, I'd be ready to talk about winning the Big East Championship this week. So we can put that on the shelf.
Right.
Not going to go that crazy. But, you know, it would have been on the table with a sweep over Seton Hall and a sweep over Providence and then Villanova coming to your place this week. Okay, so we're not going to get crazy and talk Big East Championship. What are we talking about? I'm still comfortable, and I dare say very confident Marquette is making the tournament. I think they got about a month here to play for seeding, though, because after they get past these next 2, Villanova and Connecticut, then the schedule lightens up a little bit, and a lot of games in which they are going to be favored. And so Marquette could really play for its seeding after that Connecticut game. If Marquette does lose the next two, which I'm not saying is a lock, but they are going to be an underdog in each of their next two games.
Yeah, I think that's really what we're talking about is Marquette was on a hot streak. And even in this, we'll get into some of the details when we talk the individual games. But, even in the Providence game that they lost, Providence won by two. There were three or four tremendous, looks that Marquette had in the first half of that game that put that game out of reach by the time of the second half, right? Kolick had a three go in and out. Greg had a great look that was in and out. Justin Lewis had a great look that was in and out, right? Those shots had been falling during the streak. They didn't happen to fall during this game. I think Marquette shot a month low three-point percentage of something south of 30. I want to say it was 27-26%, something like that. So shots just weren't falling. It's not that suddenly, the style didn't work or the approach that Shaka was taking didn't work. It's, shots just didn't fall, and that's going to happen. So I think really at this point, again, Marquette needs to reset, get back on the front foot and see where it goes. But I think we're still very much talking seeding, after the next week or so.
So, yeah, let's just talk about the two games really briefly this week. The win against Seton Hall, they got up huge, and Seton Hall made a run without Bryce Aiken.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I guess that's what the ho-hum was kind of about. It's that was a Seton Hall team. You think maybe Marquette could have blown them out, but, Seton Hall showed some fight in the second half, and Marquette, when you dominate one half, it's easy to withstand a couple runs in the second. But I do think in the Providence game as well, the rebounding issue did kind of rear its ugly head, and that was maybe I think we've kind of been concerned about all year, but we kind of also been resigned to. It's look, this team is just not going to be very good rebounding the ball, and that's just because something they're going to have to work around. And it definitely came to bite them in the Providence game. It didn't really come back to bite them in Seton Hall because they had such a big lead in the first half, but you could still see the issues there with the rebounding.
Yeah, oh, for sure. The rebounding is it's just going to be, I guess I'll say, a problem all season, right? There's probably some adjustments they can make, but kind of the operating theory I've come to after having watched, quite frankly, I've watched multiple games. I rewatched the Providence game as well just to see what was going on, and I think part of the problem with the rebounding is that Marquette is switching 1 through 4 for sure, in a lot of cases 1 through 5. And so you end up, by the time a shot goes up, especially on the defensive end, you end up in an inverted matchup, right, where you've got a Marquette guard on an opponent forward or something like that. And the rebounding just isn't there. So I don't know what Marquette can do to shore it up. It would be nice if they could shore it up, but I don't know. Shaka has adjusted and made changes all season. This rebounding has been a problem all season. We haven't really seen it get better. I suspect it's just broken, right? Like it just is what it is. I don't know. I don't see it changing.
Yeah, it's just, I think it was pointed out, one of the take my money things was that even though they do give off offensive rebounds and they make up for it in turnovers created,
right?
That's kind of a formula to get around the rebounding problem, and that did hit in the Seton Hall game. They did create more turnovers than offensive rebounds allowed in the Seton Hall game, and also in the Xavier game before that. I take my money in the Providence game. I didn't see a final total, but I assume they did get to 32 deflections because
they
it was
did.
Like 30.
Yeah.
It was like 30 with like several minutes to play in the game. So this was a rare game when Marquette got the required 32 deflections, but still somehow lost. And our Rob Lowe over on Crack Sidewalks point out Marquette won 3 of the 4 factors in the game: effective field goal percentage, turnover percentage, and free throw rate. But they lost the rebounding the rebounding battle. They had much more offensive rebounds, and that tilted the scale enough that they lost a close game, which is interesting to me, because usually when you win that many of the four factors, including effective field goal percentage, you're probably going to win. It's kind of a rare loss on two fronts there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, I think that's where it's one of those, it's a bit of a lucky or a fluky game, right? Like, even if you look at the win probability, you know, Marquette was, until maybe a minute left, was better than 50% win probability. You know, so I think it was a bit of a fluky game in that regard. I don't think our rebounding is quite as bad as they were in the Providence game, and certainly didn't help that Providence was able to take advantage and get points. I mean, I think Providence had 22 points off of second chances, which, you know, when a team scores 65-22 is a significant number, right? It's greater than 33% of their points came off of second chances. So I don't know what can be done, but something needs to be done there for sure. And it scares me against a team like UConn, who is just a beast on offensive rebounds. So it's going to be interesting to see how this team reacts in the next week in terms of, you know, just getting tougher on the boards.
Yeah, it's a thing we've kind of touched on already, because I don't know how much can change, because it's not like you're – you know, for the most part, what Marquette has been doing since early January has been working just fine.
Right.
And so you're not going to drastically change your rotations or minutes, you know, for whoever's playing the front court significantly because you lost one game, especially a tight game. So it's just a matter of, it sounds simple, but just say, guys, we've got to be tougher. We got to box out more. And I don't know how much more you could do other than that, because I don't, like, there's not like a guy who's playing a lot of minutes right now who I would say you got to bench that guy and you got to bring somebody else. There's somebody who's sitting on the bench who, if you played him, he fixes it, right?
Like, right.
I don't know if there's a current solution to the rebounding issue. It's just, and then the other side is you hopefully force enough turnovers that you make up for what you're giving up on in the rebounding category. I guess that's the only thing I can throw at it, is just kind of keep doing what you're doing and hopefully get a few more lucky bounces, fortunate bounces, and the other team doesn't get as lucky as they did on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, the other factor could be, you know, just tired legs, right? I mean, this has been, you know, we are in the heart of the Big East season, and there is just a grind. I mean, when was the last time this team didn't play two games? I mean, they've been playing two games a week now for, well, I guess it was probably the biggest gap they had was when the St. John's game canceled.
Yeah, I guess so, because, you know, they had that gap between the Connecticut game and the Creighton game, essentially the Christmas break. Yeah, that's about it. And then now they do have a gap. They do have a break this week, though.
Right.
Which is, so, I mean, there's only one game this week, but it is a big one, of course. It's Villanova at home. But then they will have next weekend off, and then they got Connecticut. Now, there has been a little bit of speculation that the St. John's game, if they're going to make that up, gets squeezed in there between the Connecticut and Butler game, but I don't know if there's any traction there, or if either team wants to do it or the Big East wants to do it. But that would be the only possible game when I think Marquette and St. John's could make up that one game that got canceled. So it could potentially be a very busy week next week if that they do drop that on Marquette and St. John's next week. But I'm not counting on it. I'm not anticipating it. But all I'm saying is if they're ever going to make that game up, it would be next week.
Yeah, and maybe they do that, but I would certainly cry foul. I mean, one of the things that Providence, that folks consider them lucky, is because of COVID restrictions, they missed the at Creighton game. They missed I think a Villanova game, and then they missed a St. John's game, I want to say. But either way, they had three games that were, you know, fifth or better place teams that they're going to play. And, you know, they basically came out and said, well, you know, according to sources, Providence won't be able to make up any of those games. And it's like, okay, fine. If they can't make those up, they can't make those up. But then I would have a real issue if we turn around and jam the Marquette St. John's game in somewhere, because now it's like, all right, now we're really screwing around with competitive balance on these schedules, and you're taking away a bye from Marquette that in theory should have they've been built into the schedule so that they can make up that game, and you've got other teams such as Providence that for whatever reason can't make it up, and it's like I don't understand how that would be equitable or fair or whatever, but who knows? It's the Big East.
Yeah, Providence could be in great shape to win the league right now with a 17 game slate, right? Something like right. that.
Yep, because yeah, it goes down to win percentage. If they don't have if Providence keeps winning, they're gonna win the whole shooting match.
So, but Marquette could just worry about itself right now. Marquette probably not going to win the league, but they could still do a lot of damage and get pretty high in the standings, especially if they can knock off Villanova this week. So it's the return match for the Wildcats, Phil. You got to believe Villanova is itching for a rematch the way the last game went down. They never lose in their house, and they did. But Villanova is still one of the top teams in the country, one of the top top contenders to get a very high seed. Still, many probably consider them the favorite to win the Big East, even though they are currently behind Providence. What are you looking for in the rematch, Phil? Just do the same thing again and just hope it works out again? Or what are you expecting for Villanova on Wednesday?
No, I think Villanova is going to come out a little more aggressive. I don't think Villanova is going to want to play quite as much, what I'll say, the long con, right? Like, they were getting down to 26, 27, 28 seconds gone on the shot clock before they were generating a shot. And I know that's more their style, but I think Nova is going to want to play maybe a little bit faster of a pace, maybe see if they can take advantage of Marquette's weaknesses rebounding. I think Marquette just needs to really kind of do the same things. Again, they lost to Providence, but it wasn't because they stopped doing what they were doing or what they should be doing. It was largely because the offense kind of hit a little bit of a bump with shots not falling and rebounds just went against Marquette. And so if they can even improve the rebounding a little bit, I like the chances against Villanova. I think it's a pretty good matchup for Marquette. But, I mean, do you see any adjustments coming? I mean, it's only been it's only been 2 weeks, really, 16 days from the last time Nova played Marquette. I mean, how much really changes?
Very little. You just hope you're able to create as many turnovers as you did last time, keep them off the glass, and hope those shots fall. Because, I mean, that was one of the best games Justin Lewis has played all season, was the game at Finner Pavilion. And you hope you can get a repeat performance from that. And yeah, I think Villanova is, I think what you made a good point about them maybe being a little more aggressive offensively, because maybe they settled for some jumpers in that game that maybe they regret. And maybe if they go at Marquette a little bit more and try to jumpstart their offense, feel like they could win a rematch. Because, look, Villanova's offense is still top 10 in the country. Their defense is top 20 in the country. They force a lot of turnovers. They take care of the ball. So they are going to, they're going to pressure Marquette's guards and try to turn them over. But, Marquette does pretty well in that regard. I mean, they didn't turn the ball hardly at all against Providence. I mean, they only had like three or four turnovers the entire game. I think both teams are looking at it, let's run it back and just do exactly what we did the first time around. And both teams are probably confident that they're winning the rematch, I would think. I think both teams probably feel that way because the first one was pretty tightly contested. Villanova probably feels like they let that one slip away because they got up to a 9-point lead in the second half until it went 7-8 minutes without a field goal or whatever it was.
They went 7 minutes without a field goal. Then Gillespie had a 3-point play, and then were held scoreless the last 2:19 of the game. So, I mean, that's not very Villanova-like. So I would expect Villanova's offense to play a little more consistently. So, and you know, Marquette's defense I think will be good, as it has been. I mean, that's kind of been fueling the run here. I think Marquette's defense will be good. The question is, because I think Villanova's offense will be a little better, will Marquette's offense be better? You know, at least enough to keep up with Villanova. That's gonna be the key in my book.
Yeah, the defense is something that we're confident Marquette's bringing every game at this point, mm-hmm. right? Like, they are now the number 22 defense in the country on KenPom. So that's just a couple points behind Villanova. Villanova's 18, Marquette is 22.
Yep.
So very similar metrics-wise as far as adjusted defensive efficiency for both these teams. So you're seeing two of the best defenses in the country. And Marquette's defense was outstanding against Providence all game. They just gave up a few too many offensive rebounds. That ended up costing them on Sunday. But, yeah, that's something that when – even back at the beginning of the season, Phil, when we were talking a change of philosophy under Shaka Smart, that good defense is more repeatable than good offense. Because when you've got a game plan and you know how to play defense and everybody knows their assignments – it's a little more easily repeated than a great offense, because just some nights the shots just don't fall, even if you are executing and you are getting open looks. Sometimes it's beyond your control and you're just not getting the shots to drop as you sometimes would. But I think good defense is a little more repeatable, and I think Shaka has his team in a groove now where they know what they're going to do and what they're going to bring defensively every single game. So I expect an outstanding defensive effort, probably another low-scoring game, a game that may be in the high 50s, low 60s. But it's going to be tough, just because Villanova is just so damn good. Villanova only has one stinker all season, and that was that loss at Creighton when they lost by 20 points. Their other losses, they lost to Baylor, they lost to Purdue, they lost to UCLA, and then they lost a tight one with Marquette.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a heck of a fight, and it's going to be back and forth, and we'll see. I mean, I think, you know, I would hope not that this Providence loss somehow takes – I would hope it would kind of refuel the fire as opposed to take something away. But, I mean, something we need to point out is, you know, in Villanova and then UConn nearly a week later will only make it more significant – Marquette has played the seventh toughest schedule in the country, according to KenPom. And from an opponent defensive efficiency standpoint, they've played the fifth toughest schedule. So basically staying, not only have they played the seventh most toughest schedule, they've played collectively the fifth most good defenses in the country, right? Like, so if you look at it, that was a very poor way to articulate it. But basically, they've played a ton of good defenses. And Marquette is still, you know, producing this. So this is sustainable success, right? This is not Marquette, getting lucky or you know, getting favorable matchups or anything like this. They are playing tough defenses. The offense is hanging tough, and the defense is really doing well. And so that tells me that, you know, Marquette is going to be in any game, including the Villanova game, right? Like, we may not catch Villanova just like we did at the Finneran, but I would certainly expect a one or two possession game going into the last 2 minutes, right? There's nothing on paper or the way the team has played since the win against Villanova that says Marquette is anything but within a possession or two of Villanova. And that's all you can really ask. And maybe the home court, you know, swings the game in Marquette's favor. I don't know.
Home court could do that with a foul call here or there. And we saw it
again. I would love to have some home cooking one of these days.
Hey, we got it against Seton Hall the first
That's true.
Maybe a little bit. Yeah. But you know, what you just said, I think it's worth really emphasizing and repeating. The seventh toughest schedule in the country. Out of 358 teams, 358 schedules out there, Marquette's schedule so far is number seven?
Yep.
Strength of schedule. And if you go just by defenses played, fifth. They've played of all defenses played, their schedule has presented the fifth most challenging as far as defense. And offenses is 12th. So it's not like it's much worse.
Right.
So, like, in other words, the point is, Marquette has gotten to this point at 15-7 on the season with a 7-4 conference record with the and garnered the 68th rated offense on KenPom and the 22nd rated defense on KenPom. They have compiled all of those results against the seventh toughest schedule in the country. So it's not a fluke. It's not like they're just beating up bad teams or, you know, like granted, now they have had, you know, a little fortune here or there. For example, beating Illinois without Kofi Coburn. You beat Seton Hall this past week without Bryce Aiken. Yeah, maybe a little fortune here or there. But for the most part, they face teams with the majority of their players, if not all. And the Big East is a grind, and they've had some very tough opponents in UCLA and Wisconsin. Kansas State maybe even turning to be out a little better than we thought. And West Virginia is a decent opponent as well. So, and I agree with that word you used there, sustainable, Phil. Like, it doesn't feel what they've been doing has been fluky or lucky or just catching teams at the right time outside of the Seton Hall game this past week. That might be one where you can say that's catching a team at the right time because Seton Hall just played 3 games in 5 days and they were without Bryce Aiken. I'll grant you if you want to say that one was a bit of a fortunate W. The rest of it, though, pretty legit. Pretty right. Legit. And I think, you know, I think one thing I think I'm ready to finally do with this team is separate it from their preseason expectations. So like even as recently as maybe 2 weeks ago, I was still kind of had that preseason ninth in the Big East in my mind. This team's just a little hot right now, and they're going to cool off. And in the end, it's going to be tough to make the tournament. But we're at the point in the season where we've played 22 games, Phil. The sample size is large enough that we can say those preseason picks were wildly off with this team. That they are significantly better, and we don't need to look at them as a lucky team that's just really hot and they're going to come crashing back to earth here pretty soon. They have beaten some very good teams. They're playing excellent defense that's backed up by the metrics. Their offense is better than we thought it would be, and they have played a schedule that is challenging that would expose maybe a lesser team or a team that truly is lucky or a team that truly is playing way above their head.
Yeah, you do not, you know, again, it sounds like a broken record, but you do not luck your way in to this kind of record against this kind of schedule, right? And I think you can see it both with the eyes and the statistics is, you know, Marquette was certainly playing good defense. The offense was, you know, a little bit questionable in the non-conference and the start of the conference season. But you can see it with your eyes that they've just gone to this other place on the offensive side where they're generating good shots, right? Like, if I think about the UCLA game or the Creighton game or the UConn game, even in those games, Marquette was putting up shots, but they weren't necessarily high-quality shots. You know, Justin Lewis went 0-for-4 today from 3. That's going to happen, right? Again, against Providence. That, you know, he's not a great shooter. He's a good shooter, but he's not a great shooter. He went 0-for-4, but there was not a single shot where he took it, and I was like, bad shot, or not in the flow of the offense, right? Like,
right.
You know, and even late in the game, there was a time where Justin had the wide open look and went, you know what? Nah, shot's not falling, and drove through like 5 people to get a layup and tie the game up. So, I mean, again, the offense is good. The defense is great. This is, you know, this is basketball that can win you some games. And this, you know, once you get past Villanova and UConn here, the schedule gets easier and you can rack up some wins. So I think this is a team. Regardless of the result against Villanova, this is going to be a team that's not going to lay down. Every single game, Marquette was in the game with the exception of the St. Bonaventure game, right? And that it more and more is looking like a significant outlier, right? I mean, that game, that's the one game if you look back on it and go, man, really wish we could have played better there because that's almost universally the only drag on our record, you know, when it comes to tournament time, right? I think right now St. Bonaventure is a Q3 loss for us. Or no, it might be a Q2 because it was on a neutral court. But It's not a good loss.
Yeah, they've hit a bit of a skid there. They lost to Dayton and George Mason recently, so they're 12-5 on the season. After, you know, after stomping Marquette, it looked like they might be a you know, the hot mid-major team, right? Like the team other than Gonzaga outside of the Power Conference, and everyone's like, oh, this is the team outside of the Power Conferences that's going to make a run. That should be a top. You know, a top six seed somewhere in the NCAA tournament, like kind of like Loyola Chicago was last year, right? Like this team's legit, and they're gonna make a run in March for the little guys, and maybe they still will, but you're right, they've taken some losses that have really, really been crushing to their net rating, but yeah, I agree. But back to Marquette, though, I think we've hit on all the points that we're gonna hit on in this podcast. Disappointed that they lost, but not discouraged is the way I would sum it up.
Right. If you're upset, like I get if you're like upset, oh man, I really wish we had won. We could have or should have won. I get that. But like this game changes nothing fundamentally about this team, right? You know, right. A couple of bounces one way or the other, you know, a couple of shots in the first half drop that have been dropping. And we're talking about an eight game streak, right? Like, I mean, it was a razor's edge of Marquette losing. And Providence is a good team, right? They may be very lucky, but they're a fine team, right? So losing right. to them on the road after, you know, a 7-game winning streak, I am not sweating a thing.
Just got to bounce back. You just don't let one loss become two and let, you know, two losses become, you know, 5 out of 6 or something like that, because we've experienced that a little bit in recent years.
Yeah, that's true.
Just, but I just don't think that happens to this team. Even if, like, I would still not be panicking if they lose their next two games, because they're dogs in both of them. If you look at the KenPom projections over the final 8 games, I think it's a 5-3. And so that would project Marquette to finish at 20-10 on the season, 12-7 in Big East play. And some of the projected margins are kind of wide, actually. They're projected a 4-point dog against Nova, a 6-point dog on the road against Connecticut, a 6-point favorite at Butler, a huge favorite, a 15-point favorite at home against Georgetown. The only one that's a 50-50 game is at Creighton. They got that as a 1-point. Marquette disadvantage. Marquette's a 1-point dog at Creighton per KenPom, but it has it as a 50-50 game. Literally, on the percentages, it says 50. Then back home, 12-point favorite against Butler, 4-point favorite at DePaul, House of Horrors, and then 8-point favorite in the regular season finale home against St. John's. So a lot of games after this, we get through this gauntlet that we hoped Marquette would go 2-5 in, and right. They are currently, you know, they've currently started 4-1. So mission accomplished. It's house money for the next two. If they get another one, super duper. If not, still right on schedule to not just be in the field, but like not even a bubble team. Like they would.
Right. It's a question of where are we going and who are we playing.
Exactly. So. Yeah, just don't let these next couple games turn into just a total collapse in February. That's the only mild concern I have, but really it's not a concern because as we've hit on a number of times in this podcast today, the defense is sustainable. Keep bringing that effort defensively, the offense is going to come, and that's going to win you enough games to get to March, and then we'll see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I think, you know, it's going to be an interesting game as Villanova, because it is a 9 o'clock Central game, which means 10 o'clock Villanova body clock time. That is going to be certainly going to be the latest game that on the schedule. I'm going to be curious to see what the crowd looks like from a volume standpoint and from an energy standpoint, because that, you know, that's going to be an interesting time. Though I will note, the last time we played Villanova at 9 o'clock in Milwaukee was the last quality win in the Wojo era when Marquette flukily defeated the number one Wildcats at the time to win the game. That was a 9 o'clock tip that season as well. So, hey, history repeats itself. Marquette gets another big win against Villanova.
I don't know. don't know. To be fair, that's not the last quality win of the Woj era. It was certainly the most memorable by a country mile, but right. He had a couple nice wins in 2019. But
that's fair.
I get your point. It was fun. I was on the Doug Russell show last week, and like he kind of said, take me through, you know, the last 20 years and the highs and lows. And I went through a lot of the highs and lows since like 2003, and I just blew past the Wojo era. And like after I got off the radio show with him, I kind of like I probably was a little harsh to Wojo there. I didn't even like give him credit for like doing one little thing, but. Marquette fans probably aren't broken up about it that I went about it that way, but
no, I mean, come on. If we're force ranking, you know, coaching eras of the last 30 years, I mean, is Wojo anywhere beyond like third worst?
No, he's not. So
no,
felt a little bad, but just not too bad though.
But again, I felt bad, but I'm not going to apologize.
No, I am not going to apologize. By the way, speaking of late starts, this isn't the latest start. I think Villanova started like 11 p.m. Eastern time when they played UCLA.
Or like, oh, yeah, on the West Coast, right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because they played UCLA, you know, at their place. I want to say that started at like 11 Eastern. It was a good game, though. It went to overtime. But, yeah, you're right. It is a little bit of a weird start being that late in Milwaukee, but I'll be tuning in. And we'll see what Villanova. I can't say I'm optimistic though. I think Villanova's probably got a little hunger to get a little payback against the Golden Eagles. So
I'm going the other way. I think Marquette wins.
Okay, you think Marquette? I think they'll drop this one. But again, I'm not going to be too like broken up as if they play the way I think Marquette is going to. So I'm going to make the take my money the just because I enjoy it and I don't want to research anything else right now. I'm just going to do the turnovers over offensive rebounds things again. I think that's been a nice formula.
It's almost more. It feels almost more accurate than the 32 deflections.
Yeah, it's weird because the 32 deflections is pretty reliable. It's just they just happened to lose one on Sunday.
Right.
That a rare one. They've had two this year, right?
Yeah.
I think
right.
Shaka said
Shaka was like 103-1 before coming to Marquette, and Marquette's just breaking it. I don't.
Yeah, yeah. He's lost two games this year. This one in the Creighton game were the two games Marquette has lost this year when they got 32 deflections. So hopefully they get both. Hopefully they get 32 deflections and force a lot of turnovers and don't give up any offensive rebounds, and that would lead to a victory over Villanova. So we'll see. But I'm approaching it with a bit of pessimism as far as the wins and loss, but still optimistic about Marquette overall. Anything else you want to touch on before we get out of here, Phil?
No, I think keep the faith. We're doing well, and let's just keep on keeping on.
Keep the faith, stay the course. As always, you can hit us up on Twitter. I am Joe McCann 3. Phil is MOOOF 23. At Crack Sidewalks is the team handle. You can go to cracksidewalks.com. We post the podcast there. You can leave comments on the .com. You can also rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And we also have a Scrambled Eggs Facebook page if that is your thing. Phil, hope you have a good week. I guess neither one of us are going to be talking about football anymore.
No, it is dead to us, and we can sit back and really focus on Marquette.
All on basketball from here on out. Seashells and balloons, everybody.